Ooh, I hope he kisses me goodbye after this delicious tuna melt. But
tuna melt?
I really wasn't that into him. Why would you?
Clearly, because no woman who's like, I want this to go somewhere is like, yeah, can I have your sloppiest tuna melt, please? Like, what? That's anarchy. What's wrong with you?
Welcome back to another episode of Smiling Faces, the podcast.
I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano. And we are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, the newest soon-to-be hit pilot comedy. We are producing about two girls who discover they are dating the same guy while working together at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and of course, living your best life.
That's what we do every day, live our best life.
We do.
I keep telling this to everyone. I saw Carlos Santana on Wednesday of the band Santana. Side note, yes, I'm opening with a full-blown like brag. Counting Crows was there. Counting Crows, oh. Santana, not to date myself, because I'm far too young for Counting Crows, obviously. No, we love our age. I don't pretend.
Yes. No, stand on it.
Thank you. Saw Counting Crows. I saw Santana. And since we're talking about living your best life, living my best life, Carlos Santana has a message for all of you beautiful people. And I'm just a messenger. He says, be happy and live a glorious life.
Simple, but so clear. I love it. Because I feel like the other big thing I always say, because I know like my parents get on it about, oh, we're in our late 70s, we're getting old. And I'm like, it's better than the alternative. I'd rather be old than 6 feet under or like dust sprinkled over the sea. You tell me, which would you prefer? Do you want me to go over the ocean with you? Or do you want to be here?
Old or dead? Old or dead? Old or dead? These are our options. Be happy.
That's the only one.
Live a glorious life.
Exactly.
Or be dead. Or just be dead.
Right. I know it's spooky season coming up, but like, I feel like you'd prefer alive.
What is it? All the Scorpios out there, like it's a season of, you know, Scorpio's all about death, but death is not the end
yes,
of something.
They are. I love my Scorpio women though, but Scorpio, I swear to God, I have not met a Scorpio man that ever been like, I'm glad that happened. Like,
Wow. I don't know if I have ever encountered, you know, I'm not sure if I've ever like intermingled with a Scorpio man.
Have you ever been violently hurt? Like emotionally?
Yes, but it was by a Pisces.
Oh, plot twist.
I stay away from the fishies.
Okay. That's smart. Literally.
Thank you. Anyway, we have taken literally 0.2 seconds to completely derail off of our topic today. Of course, because we're talking about living our best life, so the only way to discuss our best life is to talk about the state of the entertainment industry.
Woo! You want to talk about not living your best life? The industry is going through it.
Everybody box breath. Breathe in four, hold for four.
And hold. And out for four. We will make content again. Don't worry. I feel like that needs to be the mantra.
We will make content again. Don't worry. Yeah. Be happy, live a glorious life. And for the love of God, keep making content because the big studios are not.
So the latest, at least that I saw, was that Paramount TV is just gone. We're just off that.
Like an Irish goodbye. Like no warning. Was it like, hey, it's been fun. Thank you for everything. Just
we actually don't love this anymore. So we're going to go ahead and just close up shop. Like that's just, can you imagine like working at Paramount being like, oh, I'm at this flagship historical studio. Yes. And everyone just comes up and is like, hey, I need you going to hand close your laptop. You're done.
People, this is not funny. I was just about to make a terrible.
It's not.
People are packing up their binders, and Paramount's like, no, you're not going to need that anymore. It's gone.
Yeah. That's actually the property of Paramount. Sorry. I feel like I can, yeah, I feel like I can laugh about it because I've been sacked from a major studio.
You absolutely, the majorest of major studios was like
truly
sunsetting your department, which is.
Yes, sunsetting my department. And then it's not the laid off date. It's date of impact. Like it's a meteor.
No, I didn't know they called it that. I didn't know they ever like date of impact to sun when the sun is fully set.
Totally. Like literally every person I talked to that made it through was like, oh, so what was your impact date? I'm like, I didn't get hit by a car. Like, what are we talking about?
But a little bit, but like a little bit.
No, just, yeah, the major studios. One, I feel like they're in such a transitional time because one, it's super expensive to film in LA now. It's out of control. Like all the permits and everything are crazy where you can't afford to film here. So a lot of it is going to Atlanta, North Carolina, Arizona, I believe. And then other countries.
Beirut. Turns out. Yeah. Also, apparently thriving is the Australian film industry. Still doing just fine out there. But even like Ireland, all of my friends that are working hard to make sure that they have a passport that allows them to work in the EU because filming in LA, it's just not happening right now. And it's interesting that you said that it's so expensive. We had that experience ourselves as we were permitting to shoot the teaser, which if you guys have not checked out our teaser, make sure to hit up our website, www.smilingfacestheseries.com, and check out our teaser or hit us up on any of our social media because our teaser video is fantastic.
It's so good.
Yeah, we're super proud of it. And also, when we were filming, just to get permits to film on a very, it was like the city of Los Angeles. It was $1,000 walking in the door.
It's so expensive. Yeah. Which you wouldn't think because we were legit just shooting on a residential street. It was a half a day. And the fact that it was that much, but you know what? I think also part of it, one, the city of LA and Film LA with their permit pricing, but also because this is the hub and so many things film here, local businesses are also hip to it. Where I remember I tried to shoot a sketch once and there was a bakery and a little bistro tables and stuff around the corner from my old apartment. And I went up to them and I said, hey, I'm going to shoot something really fast in the next couple of weeks. Could I sit up at this one bistro table off to the side that's completely out away from everything? It will probably be maybe an hour, hour and a half at best. And he goes, what's your budget? And I went, it's just for my sketch team. There's no budget. And he goes, Yeah, they're like, oh, well, so we would ask for about $10,000. I went, who was going to give you that?
They're so proud. They're so proud of themselves. $10,000. Were you like,
oh, I immediately.
I'm not a location manager.
Exactly. I was like, I'm just a random girl with a top knot trying to shoot a funny sketch. What are you talking about? The way I immediately went back home and rewrote, I was like, they are sitting on a park bench.
Which you also need a permit for, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So, that being said, though, here we are, you know, belaboring the difficulties of like self-production and being like being scrappy and going out there and filming your own work. And the truth is, this is the only way because we are artists. I must create. You must create. And because of that, it's interesting. A lot of people, you know, they know what we're doing. They know that we're producers and that we're making content. And so they come out of the woodwork. And by the way, if you're listening to this, feel free to come out of the woodwork because they're banding together. They're coming to us. They ask, how do I do this? How do I do what you did? And I was like, you pick up a camera and you shoot it. Of course, it's more than that. Of course, there's way more stuff.
Yes.
Breakfast burritos and where are people going to change their clothes? And do we want to hire do we want to hire a first AC or a grip? And I guess that kind of is the full circle of coming back to the state of the industry because we were lucky, not just lucky, we worked hard to get into the positions we were in to work on the professional sets and to ingrain ourselves into the industry. And because of that, we got to get a snapshot of how expensive it really can be and how inexpensive you can you can pivot it to be.
Yes. I feel like if you see a larger scale of it, then you know what you, what are the paramount things you absolutely need when you have to pare down to a skeleton crew. You know which roles you absolutely have to have.
And when, I mean, even though it's real tough right now for all of our friends to get a job here in LA working in the industry, if you can get a job on a set, even for a day, even if it's as a background, just to get to experience what that day looks like on a big professional film shoot. So I was production coordinator working on, you know, a major network television show. And because of that, I met so many people that had, you know, they were PAs or they were first ACs or they were digital, you know, DIT techs. And they were folks that wanted to be at a higher level. And those people were the people that we tapped into when we were like, we need to make something. Sure, this is somebody who already works on like a major network television show. And you think, oh, they're busy, they're working. No, what's the truth is they wish that they, a second AC wants to be a first AC. So when you give them that access and that credit to work on your short film, that way they get to cut their teeth. They get to practice the things that they've seen their first AC on their show do. Anyway, all of that to say, the industry, because people are getting scrappy, because the industry is going through this major transformation, I think you got to make your own work. That's what we're doing.
You do. And I think it's kind of a two-pronged thing. So one of the things I remember hearing Issa Rae say a while back, which I hold tightly to, is instead of looking up to the people that have already established what they're doing and they're these big names, look to your left and right at who's next to you that's on your level and you build together instead of asking someone to reach back and help you. So you kind of work with people in your world and you all grow and rise together because that's what she did.
Dang.
Right?
That is beautiful. That is
That's
beautiful.
How you build the next generation. Yeah.
It is. You know, I am always out here. I actually get text messages, I'd say 4 or 5 times a week from PAs that I've worked with or people that I've met out in the industry who are like, oh, hey, if you've heard of anything, I'm looking for work, whatnot. I constantly say this when we're making work. I'm always like, reach below, reach behind, and pull people up next to you too, because even I have a great friend. We have a great friend. I have a dear friend, shout out to actually our web developer, Chris Jupitz. He's a dear friend of mine. And he pointed out not too long ago, you know, we get into these ruts and we belabor like, oh, the state of this industry and there's no work. And after the strikes, nothing came back. And he pointed out, never forget, like people who are living out in Utah who maybe have no connection at all to the film industry are, they feel like they're on the outermost circle, you know? And we're here. We're in Los Angeles. You just turn around and you can trip over anybody you need to work with you on your screenplay or work with you
for sure.
As a DP or work with you. So the whole deal of it is Paramount can Irish goodbye all they want. We're still going to be out here creating, right?
Like, yes. Because I think that's the big thing too, is these major studios, because they're so, I know they are risk averse. So the people that take the big swings and make the exciting stuff that people actually want to see are independent people. And it's this weird vicious cycle where because big studios are afraid to do all that, the indie people do something really exciting. And then it's almost, you almost get the keys to the kingdom once you prove that you can make something amazing, scrappy with a little budget. Then they go, oh, wow, you can do all that. Well, now you may enter and you may make all the things. Yeah. You have to prove yourself with nothing first.
Yeah. I built my entire business plan on like becoming a producer was built on hearing a rumor that this woman I knew who directed like 100 short horror films was granted $1 million from Verizon Wireless back when Verizon Wireless was trying to make their own streaming content. They gave her $1 million.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it didn't last long. What was it called? It was like V90 TV or something like that. Yeah, that's not a call out, unofficial sponsor, none of that. So, right. Yeah, I can't.
Well, they can't. They didn't even make it.
they're by the wayside. However, they gave her $1 million and a 10 episode run because she had directed 100 short horror films. So, why are we talking about all this? Because the truth is, that's what we're doing. That's what everybody who's out here successful is doing. They're just, instead of being like, what do we do? What are we going to do? You create it yourself.
You start making it. Yes, exactly. Because I feel like there's always going to be something that's going on. This industry is very up and down, but then there's always a lack because there's so many people that moved here to do this. So there's not going to be enough parts for you to audition for anyway. You have to make your own stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this because I lost my train of thought. It was brilliant though. It was so brilliant.
I bet. Mm-hmm. That what she said.
I remember what I was going to say. So I have a friend who's an actor who is a fairly successful actor, works regularly, kind of a jobber, and was belaboring the industry and like, oh no. And a lot of people will ask, we're just waiting for the industry to come back. And lately, my brain, every day I think about this, I don't think the industry is ever going to come back how we know it. However, what's coming down the line? A lot of people instantly go to AI. I say no. I mean, yes, AI is a thing, but that's not a territory that's not a land I can play in. You know, I can't play in AI. I don't really understand it. I've tinkered, but peripherally, just for the fun of it.
Yeah. AI feels like NFTs to me. I don't understand it.
And I kept thinking NFTs, so a friend of mine once was like, we're selling a squirrel NFTs. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Right. I was like, that's not viable. You're making no money.
And I think
just
she made
throw
a
it
lot
in the trash. Oh, never mind.
I think she
got it. Okay.
I think she made a fortune. Maybe we're on the wrong side of history here, but I think the message isn't we've got to wait for the industry to figure it out and then we'll all come back and we'll work again. No. What's coming? What are people watching? How are people engaging? There's this vertical format thing happening nowadays where people are shooting all these, honestly, horror films vertically on vertical platforms.
That tracks.
Yeah, that's all. And then that's all we're doing is we're swiping. So whatever people are engaging with is handheld or, maybe it's an iPad. And it involves movement of your fingers and the eye scanning. So when I think like that, I start to think like, how do you think outside the box? And I don't know if I told you about this. I met a writer once who told this great story. She was a great writer. She was trying to build a writing career for herself. She was trying to break into some rooms, couldn't get a meeting for the life of her. And just because you know how it gets when we get hungry and we're just like, I have to make some art. Your body, I don't know, as artists, my body compulsively does it. I've been dancing like 7 days a week lately because I'm not making any other art, so I'm just like compulsively salsa dancing. Anyway, this woman, she was talking about, she had to make something. Nobody was paying her to do it. So she started to write a puppet show and started to perform a puppet show in Hollywood on Saturday mornings. She did it for 2 years. I believe the story is that she kind of hated doing it, but everybody knew about this puppet show and would talk about, you're the puppet girls. And when I was talking to my friend, this actor buddy who was belaboring the industry, I was like, no, you got to think ahead. Like, what do you want to bring to the table? There's an audience for it. And I know this is all very like broad strokes. We're talking about like big hopes and dreams, but
It really is those micro things too. Like it's, if you keep consistently putting yourself out there, I keep explaining that to people that want to start. I'm like, you literally have to one, take class. That helps a lot, but also consistently get into different rooms with people. So if you're at going to theaters and sketch teams mm-hmm. or schools or just different stuff. I go, the more consistently you join groups or get into classes or meet people and you kind of get into those pockets, you're going to keep start finding new people and you realize how small the industry actually is and who you can build with, because you're constantly seeing the same faces over and over again of the people who are trying and creating and putting themselves out there. Because the amount of overlap I have where I was a part of a sketch team and then I went over and did another thing and I started seeing the same people
yeah.
over and over again, because those are the ones that are putting themselves out there and trying.
And then when you're out there meeting all those great professionals, you can double down and start dating them.
There you go.
Full circle. Ooh,
but also
full circle.
Yeah, I was like, there you go. Dating an artist can be challenging, but
don't do it. Never.
Yeah. Because the way, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast. We've spoken of him, but mm-hmm. Hoops. But
yes.
also was an actor. And one yes. thing I've learned as an artist is, yes, I'm attracted to, you know, face and body and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you claim to be an artist, I'm going to need you to be good. And if you're not, I'm going to be turned off.
Yeah, unless, here's the only time I'm not turned off by bad talent. I will be attracted to people who are not talented at what they do if they double down on the passion. I'm not talking romantic. Mm. If they're like, but I love it and I'm really working to get better, then I'm like, all right, we can work with this. But when they just think they're good.
Girl, run. Oh. If they're like, you can't tell me anything, I'm the next coming of guitarist mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, if I'm the next Jimi Hendrix and you sound like you're playing Deliverance. No. No. Absolutely not. Sister, put on your shoes and run. That is not your man.
No, it's not your man. That is not your king.
It's scary.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
let's see. Do we have any fast date updates?
Oh, she looks pointedly. Listen, your girls have been dating. Okay. I've been dating. Victoria's yes. been dating. You know what's fun? Okay. So what's fun is I don't date actors. And whenever I meet an actor that's like, hey, you want to get lunch? I always say, I don't date actors. I know all about them because I used to be one and we're the worst. And then I date them anyway. But I really enjoy saying that I don't date them.
But
and then
you said
them.
It first. You said it first. So you get the point.
Thank you.
Well, like, just so you know, I don't normally do this.
I don't usually date actors. You're special.
Exactly. As some guy named Chad grunts and I let you down.
Listen, first of all, I went on a lunch date with a Chad of an actor. And it was actually, besides the fact that he was so late, so late that had I not ordered myself a cappuccino and was just enjoying the cafe and reading my book, I would have left. I was like, I don't care if you show up now. However, had a lovely time, had a great date, was like, I don't know if there's a vibe here. I wasn't like really feeling a vibe with him, but had a great time and was like, this guy's cool as hell. But not like date. Like I wasn't like, oh, I hope he kisses me goodbye after this delicious tuna melt. But
tuna melt.
I really wasn't.
Why
that
would
into
you?
Him.
Clearly, because no woman who's like, I want this to go somewhere is like, yeah, can I have your sloppiest tuna melt, please? Like what? That's anarchy. What's wrong with you?
I wasn't that interested.
Clearly.
I had a cappuccino, a tuna melt, and I was gone. I left.
Your bowels. Oh, my God. Like, the first date I had with the guy I'm talking to right now, I foolishly ate a bunch of plant-based, like, sausage, egg, and cheese for breakfast, and it destroyed my stomach. And I was like, why did I do that? You should have had a fruit plate.
Soybean. Like, right through.
the whole time on the date, like going up, was like, it stayed with me that whole day. When I met him up for dinner, I was like, this is not good. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, I may have to excuse myself to fart.
Oh, sure. For sure.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to walk over here real quick.
Oh my God. But I tell you what, a man who can handle the farting, especially the farting of a vegan.
Right. Because that's hostile. That's a war crime.
Out here, guys.
Yeah. So basically, you hear it. We're dating. We're not embarrassing ourselves.
Not at all.
And it's good. So I think that's our smiling faces moment. We're both going out on dates. We're deeply uncomfortable, but it's going great.
It's going great. I'm having the time. Yeah. That date, I had a lunch date that day. It was mediocre. Went on a mediocre dinner date with a different guy that night. Hello, Saturday.
Boom. Cute. Yeah. Booked and busy. I love that you double booked.
Damn busy. It was a spontaneous dinner date. I can't say that I like planned that, but yeah. And the tuna melt was fine. Carried me through dinner. No problem.
I am so unconvinced about this tuna melt. I swear to God. You might as well have been like, can I have French onion soup?
Eating raw onion at the table.
Right, like Northwest did. Remember when Northwest?
Oh, yes.
She like bit into a raw onion and like blew her onion breath into Kimberly's face. I call Kim Kardashian Kimberly. Like,
because you're bestie. All three syllables, very important.
Exactly.
Kimberly. Because we can.
That.
Oh. Right. Yeah, we need to tell you how great things are going for the show. We are fundraising. We are bringing in money. We are doubling that money. We're building.
Yes.
Least exciting to talk about and most exciting time is like when the money starts to build and it's a mountain. And when that mountain is complete, we're going to go into production and we're going to shoot this thing because we're out here making our own work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So excited. So yeah, we've got that going. We're keeping things up on social media. Yep. We're doing new series, fun little story times now where we tell you about bad dates we've gone on.
I guess we just did. I suppose.
But we've got some in the chamber.
Oh, this is
LA.
We've
got plenty in the chamber we've got plenty to share. It's and our little tag is explaining to you why we're inside instead of out there.
Right, which I did get a beautiful lecture from our incredible producer, Mike Bryant, who we love. Shout out to our amazing producer. He loves when we do this. Big shout out. He gave me the TED Talk of my life, the dressing down I needed when I informed him I went out last night past 10 p.m. And then he reminded me, we don't do that. We don't go out late.
He lovingly said, take your old ass inside. With love and light, don't do that.
Mm-mm. Put your PJs on, girl. It is beyond 8 p.m. You turn on Netflix. Oh, no, it was a murder documentary.
Yep, a murder documentary, and you stay inside.
There's nothing, my grandmother said, there's nothing good that happens past midnight. And I think we know the truth is it's past 8 p.m.
Yeah, that's the real time. That's the witching hour.
8 p.m. on a Friday night. Right. Oh, man. Okay, I think that's about everything for us. Listen, if you love what you're hearing here and you want to tune in and hear more about Victoria and I in our terrible dating stories, we have a great new series on TikTok, and you can find us at
smiling_faces_series
or Instagram, and follow our reels and stories at
@smilingfaces_series.
You can always find us on the Facebook at
Smiling Faces Series. No underscore.
That's how we get real with Facebook. And of course, on our website at www.smilingfacesseries.com. We want to give a major shout out to all of our friends here at Smiling Faces, the podcast, Smiling Faces, the series, Smiling Faces, the community. A major shout out to Christine Hashem, who helps us with our social media. And of course, our beloved executive producer of this podcast, Mike Bryant.
Mike Bryant, thank you.
And then we'll
all
never
of you for listening. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you all for listening and being a part of the crazy psycho soldier community. We love you so much.